Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
God, you're worthy of praise, God.
Yes, Lord.
And he keeps on doing great things for us.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Great is the Lord.
Glory to God.
And greatly to be praised. There's no God like our God.
No God.
None can compare to him.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus. God, you formed me out of clay, and for your glory I was made. So use this vessel, Lord, in this moment as you choose. And let my life, let it praise you. Speak to our hearts this morning. Give us ears to hear what your spirit has to say to the church, and give us hearts to obey. We thank you in advance for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a thought that hit my mind this week, early this week, and I've been carrying it around this week, and looking at some things as far as the scripture is concerned. We understand, or we should understand, that the campaign of the devil is intensifying. It is increasing, and it appears that he's pulling out all the stops. Because I believe that he is aware of the fact that he has but a short time. So since the return of the Lord is imminent, then the devil is amping up his attack. And he is a student of humanity, I believe, because he's been around longer than any of us. And the Bible says that he is the God, little g, of this world. And we know from scripture that he is a master manipulator of three main things: the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's in the world. And we know that Satan masters enticing all humanity using those three vehicles in some form or another. And he does that not only to all humanity, he does that in his attempts, just because we've gotten saved, those of us who were saved, that doesn't stop the devil from trying to manipulate us, or that doesn't stop him from attacking us. We need to be keenly aware of that fact. In fact, the moment we got saved, we were moved up on the devil's hit list. Because when we wasn't saved, he wasn't worried about us. But now that we've gotten saved, we moved up on his hit list. And sometimes in our walk with God, even after we have received salvation, we fall short. Sometimes in our walk with God, yet filled with the Holy Ghost, we miss the mark sometimes. And we have to acknowledge that missing the mark, falling short, can be better known and better declared as sin. Sometimes we sin. Okay. Don't worry, I'm going to give you plenty of Bible to back that up. For the audacity of a preacher to stand in the church filled with saints and utter out of his mouth that saints sin. Where in the world did I get that from? One of the reasons that we sin is because within us we have two natures. We have the nature of the first Adam, and we have the nature of the second Adam from above. So within us, housed within us, there is a war that is continually going on. And sometimes we lose a battle. Not the war, but sometimes we lose a battle. And it is in those times, I believe, when we slip, when we fall, when we make a mistake, when we sin, that our arch enemy, the arch enemy of our soul, tries to amplify our mistake. He tries to bring a chorus of words in our ears and in our thinking that reveals again who he actually is as the accuser of the brethren. When we slip, when we fall, when we make a misstep, when we sin, then he is ever ready to accuse us and say, "See, I told you you weren't saved. See, I told you God is not with you. See, I told you that was nothing to this. You might as well go on and continue. What you did was so bad, God ain't going to have you back." All those type of lies. But I come to declare to someone today, through the word of God and under the direction of the Spirit of God, that you are not your sin. That's my subject. You are not your sin. Bible says that if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we have to be honest with God and honest with ourselves and say, "Yeah, I sin sometimes." Might not be the most popular message, but it's accurate. Because the scripture goes on to say that if we say that we have no sin, then we make God a liar. And every word of God is true. So what we gonna do? Paul, in the 7th chapter of Romans, understood the perplexity, if you will, or the circumstance that he was in, and he shared something in writing to the saints at Rome. In the 7th chapter of Romans, beginning at verse number 14, we get into a conversation that Paul is writing to the saints at Rome. I have the AMPC version. Here's what he says, beginning at verse number 14. "We know that the law is spiritual, but I am a creature of the flesh, carnal, unspiritual, having been sold into slavery under the control of sin. For I do not understand my own actions." You ever done something and said, "Why in the world did I do it?" Right after you finished. "For I do not understand my own actions. I am baffled, bewildered," Paul says. "I do not practice or accomplish what I wish, but I do the very thing that I loathe, which my moral instinct condemns." he goes on in his conversation, "Now if I do habitually what is contrary to my desire, that means that I acknowledge and agree that the law is good, morally excellent, and that I take sides with it." Do you see the situation that Paul is explaining about himself? Then he says in verse 17, "However, it is no longer I who do the deed, but the sin principle which is at home in me and has possession of me." So Paul is saying that there's sin in me. Not the great apostle Paul. One version says, "It is not I, but sin that dwelleth in me." All right, verse 18. Here's what Paul declares, "For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh." In our flesh is no good thing. He said, "I can will what is right, but I cannot perform it. I have the intention and urge to do what is right, but no power to carry it out." Anybody else felt that way? I want to do what's right. Verse number 19, "For I fail to practice the good deeds that I desire to do. But the evil deeds that I do not desire to do are what I am ever doing." That sounds like a split personality or something. Huh? It's a struggle because there's a war that's going on in here. Now, he says in verse 20, "Now if I do what I do not desire to do, it is no longer I doing it. It is not myself that acts, but the sin," again, the sin principle in parentheticals there. He says, "which dwells within me, fixed and operating in my soul." It sounds like he is getting deeper into a serious dilemma here. Verse 21, "So I find it to be a law, a rule of action of my being, that when I want to do what is right and good, evil is ever present with me, and I am subject to its insistent demands." One version says, "When I would do good, evil is ever present." Something we need to realize. "For I endorse," 22 says, "for I endorse and delight in the law of God in my inmost self, with my new nature." Thank God for the new nature. He says, "I delight in the law of God." See, the law exposed sin. And that's what the law did. It exposed sin. And then when the law exposed sin, then it showed us that we deserve death. Paul said, "I endorse and delight in the law of God in my inmost self with my new nature. But I discern in my body and my bodily members, there's something going on in here." I discerned, watch this, watch, "in my bodily members." Now, it's just not here and here, but here and here. In my heart, that's a member. That's a part of my members. In my mind, in my brain, that's a part of my members. So what Paul is saying, "But I discern in my bodily members, in the sensitive appetites and wills of the flesh, a different law, a different rule of action, at war against the law of my mind, my reason, making me a prisoner to the law of sin that dwells in my bodily organs." Oh, wow. So there's sin that dwells in me. And I got to carry the sinful flesh everywhere I go. I want to get away from it, but I can't get away from it. I won't be delivered until I get that new body. But I got to deal with the sin that's in me. He says, in the sensitive appetites and wills of the flesh at the end of verse 23. So now he gets to 24. Oh, unhappy and pitiable and wretched man that I am. Who will release and deliver me from the shackles of this bodily death? I need a deliverer, Paul said. But here's what he said in verse 25. Oh, thank God. You see the exclamation point? He was excited about that. Oh, thank God. He will, through Jesus Christ, the anointed one, our Lord. So then, indeed, I of myself with the mind and heart serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. In other words, don't try on our own human initiative, on our own human strength, on our own human thinking. Don't even attempt to think that in that vein or in that human mindset, scripture calls it carnal mindset, we will ever please God. Huh? You'll waste your time. You'll waste your strength. You'll waste your mental faculties trying to do what's right according to God's law in the flesh, operating with your human reasoning without the influence of the Spirit of God. So Paul says, thank God that God will deliver me through Jesus Christ. Now we can say, thank God that God has delivered us through Jesus Christ. And see, we need to know God's word, so even in those times when we slip, and we do, in those times when we miss the mark, and we do, whatever your sin is, you have to know that that's not me. You are not your sin. You need to tell that to yourself. I'm not my sin. You need to tell that to yourself. You're not saying that you don't sin, but that's not who you are. You see, because the devil will try to make you think that's who you are and that's who you're always going to be. Scripture tells us to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, here's the thing that we have to understand, and here's the thing that's critically important. Don't hide from God. Well, let me rewind that. Don't try to hide from God, because you can't hide from God. Huh? Bible says that he desires truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts, he shall make me to know wisdom. So if you're struggling with the sin, let God know. Well, he already knows that you're struggling with it, but he wants you to acknowledge the thing that you're struggling with. He wants you to acknowledge it. And for some, there is a necessary further acknowledgement, because some of the sin that we do, we like it. So we have to tell God, God, I'm struggling with this, or I'm involved in this, because some of us are involved and we ain't struggling. Huh? Because some of us are just involved in it. Huh? Because if you were struggling, then you would be fighting, you know, trying to get out. But some of us are just at the involved stage because we enjoy it. But that's not you. That's not you. You are not your sin. But we need to tell God. We need to be honest and upfront with God and say, God, this is my issue. This is the thing that I'm dealing with. And if we are not at the point where we hate it, we need to tell God, help me to feel about my sin like you feel about my sin. God hates sin. But guess what? He loves sinners. Huh? He hates sin, but loves sinners. How do you square that? What do you mean? God so loved the world, huh? He gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So then, I have to reckon with myself and be honest with myself. Huh? I have to be honest with myself and be honest with God that when I sin, I have to say, God, I've sinned. I ain't got an excuse for it in the world. Wait, why? Why don't I have an excuse? Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So somewhere along the line of my actions, I made a conscious decision to do it this time. Somewhere, see, I'm putting it on me. I ain't putting it on y'all. Don't worry. Yours is coming. Huh? But somewhere along the line, I made a conscious decision, huh, to do something, to say something, right? I made that decision, and I got to just be upfront with God and say, yeah, God, it was me. I ain't got no excuse. I did it. It's wrong, and I'm wrong. And God has already put in his word, scripture that we quoted, if we confess our sins. Huh? He's faithful. He's just. But see, the devil said, no, you can't tell that. You got to take this to the grave. Uh-uh. Huh? But don't listen to him. Don't listen to him. See, we need to understand that the altar is for saints as well as sinners. Huh? We need to understand that it's an opportunity to get things right. You see what I'm saying? So sinners or individuals who are not yet saved should not be the only ones coming to the altar. So we need to take that stigma of the altar away. Huh? The altar is a place of sacrifice. Huh? We used to sing, is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Huh? Your heart does the spirit control? Huh? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you lend him your body and your soul. So we have to continue to take these bodies, these members that the struggle is in, that sin is in, we have to continue to bring them, huh? As a living sacrifice, the Bible says. Huh? A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable act of worship. So every time we offer up ourselves as a living sacrifice, that's our reasonable worship. So I don't want anybody any longer to be plagued in their mind. Now, here's something that we have to understand. Paul, in his writing, says, where sin did abound, grace does much more abound. So I thank God for grace. And we ought to thank God for grace. But then he puts a caveat in there. He says, shall we continue in sin? Huh? That grace may abound? He said, God forbid. Huh? How shall we who are dead to sin live any longer therein? So we have to make up in our minds and remind ourselves that we are not to use the grace of God as a sin eraser for our convenience. Thank God that the grace is there, but we don't want to test the limits of God's grace. Because his grace is sufficient. Huh? But we got to deal with our real selves, all right? If we are going to walk in the model of our church, which is change, huh? Come have a new growth experience, we should be having new growth experience in our relationship with God on a daily. Huh? When God allows us to see the flaws that are in our own life, see the things that are in our own hearts, then we have to make a conscious decision what we're going to do with it. But I want you to know that you are not your sin. You are not your sin. So if you are dealing with or struggling with lying, that's not who you are. That's just what you did. If you're struggling or dealing with fornication, that is not who you are. That's just what you did. If you're struggling or dealing with adultery, that's not who you are. That's just what you did. If you are struggling or dealing with drunkenness, that ain't who you are. That's what you did. If you're dealing or struggling with getting high, that's not who you are. That's what you did. So whatever you're dealing with, hypocrisy, pride, covetousness, jealousy, that ain't who you are. That's just what you did. And what we have to do is we have to bring that to Jesus if we want the help. Paul continues in Romans chapter number 8. He says in verse number 1, therefore there is now no condemnation, no adjudging guilty of wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus, who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. So we have to understand that we can't walk in agreement with our flesh, because our flesh will never line up with God. Never. On no day it will not line up with God. But since we, if we have truly received God's Spirit, and if we allow the Holy Ghost to lead, guide, control, and direct us, then there is therefore now no condemnation, no adjudging guilty of wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus, who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. So I got to be Spirit-led. We have to be Spirit-led, even though we're walking around with sin in our members. So here again, the scripture comes up that greater. Now see, we got to believe this. Greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. So since I have received the greater one, God is so great. God is so powerful. God is so strong. God is so mighty that he can put his Spirit in us and allow us to carry around this dead body, carry around a body that is filled with sin and still glorify him. But we have to determine in our mind that we are not going to be led by the spirit of our own mind. We're not going to be led by the spirit of our own reasoning. We're not going to be led by the spirit of a Gallup poll or a spirit of what's the latest fad or the latest trend. But since we have received the Spirit of God, then we will allow ourselves, we will yield to the Spirit of the living God that is in us. So when we yield to the Spirit of the living God that is in us, we can bring this body under subjection. We can bring this body under the control of God, our Savior. We can speak to our own selves and tell ourselves, I'm going to tell the truth. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not hooking up with this one. I'm not hooking up with that one. Because, first of all, I have to remember that my life does not belong to me. I have to remember that God paid a precious price for me on the cross of Calvary. I have to remember that it was his blood that he shed for me and for you. And since he owns us lock, stock, and barrel, then I have to live my life in accordance to his word. I have to live my life walking in agreement with his word. I have to be led by the Spirit of God. For the Bible declares, they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So I have to relinquish control of my life. Matter of fact, I never really had control of my life, because when I wasn't saved, the devil was a puppet master. He was pulling all the strings. He had me doing some wild and crazy things. All right, I'll bring y'all in too now. He had us doing some wild and crazy things, and we thought that we were doing our thing. We thought we were our own person. But when we heard the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, when we heard the fact that we were born in sin and shaping in iniquity, when we heard the fact that the soul that sins, it shall die, then we heard in God's word, he declared that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Here comes God in the message of the gospel, sending us the message that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. See, here's something that we need to understand. You're not your sin, but guess who became sin for us? Jesus Christ, he became sin for us. He who knew no sin, glory, hallelujah, the sinless Jesus Christ, the God in flesh, he became sin for us. And he took the handwriting of ordinances and that was against us, the Bible says, and he nailed it to the cross. So I'm so glad that we have an opportunity now to get in Christ. We have an opportunity now to live in Christ. We have an opportunity now to dwell in Christ and have him dwell in us. I'm so glad that he has delivered us from the bondage of sin. I'm so glad that Christ lives forever. And just like God raised him up from the dead by the glory of the Father, Romans says, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So God, if you help me, and I know you want to help me better than I need help or think I need help, but all I got to do is walk with God. All I got to do is allow the living God, Jesus Christ, to arise in me. How could Jesus walk around all those sinners and still not get contaminated with sin? Don't you know we got the same Jesus on the inside? So if our hearts are right and if we love God like we say we love God, we can let God arise in us and watch God's enemies be scattered, because the real fight ain't against you and the devil. The real fight has always been against God and the devil. But I'm so glad that we're walking into a fixed fight. Yes, we are. It's already fixed, and we have already won. Because when Jesus got up from the dead, he said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Listen, so here's what we have to do when that sin, when our own sin, yes, we got to disown the sin. Listen, yeah, this might not be going down too good, but listen, before you disown it, you got to own it first. Glory, hallelujah. You can't disown something that was never yours. That's right. But I hear God tell us, listen, we got to forsake it. We got to forsake it. We got to confess our sin. Wait a minute. He said, confess your fault one to another. Now, why would he put that in there if we had no fault? Some of us want to act like, oh, I'm cool. No, you ain't. I'm cool. I'm good. No, you ain't. You got some stuff. I can look at you and tell you got some stuff wrong. Just like you can look at me and tell, there's some stuff that I need to get over. Yes, yes, we're saved to be saved. We are in the sanctification process. Wait a minute, wait. I'm remembering the scripture. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Oh, God. You mean Jesus' people still got some sin? Yes. He shall save his people from their sins. Y'all ain't shouting. Why? Because I'm exposing some sin. That's all right. Oh, Lord. Oh, I had a Jeep Ready Bin flashback. You can't shout over sin. Glory. Hallelujah. Or he would say, shout if you can. Glory. Hallelujah. Listen, but God really wants us to shout. And here's how we shout. When we realize that we have the power granted and given to us from God to mortify this flesh. Glory. Hallelujah. And the deeds of this flesh. That's shouting time then. If you ain't mortified your flesh, don't you shout. Don't you even clap your hands. Because you're fronting. You're fronting in church. You're lying in church. You're hypocriting in church. But once you have mortified, once you have drained the blood out of that sin, wait a minute. I hear God said in one place, lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. In order for you to lay aside it, you got to put your hand on it. Oh, glory. You got to put your hand on it. Pick it up and lay it down. Say, listen, I'm bringing this thing to the altar. I'm tired. I'm tired of that nicotine. Oh, glory. All right, I named it. I'm tired of that nicotine messing with me. And as much as cigarettes cost, glory, hallelujah, I could be putting that money in the offering. As much as cigarettes cost, and I'm tired of that nicotine messing with me. Yeah, I try to clean myself up. I try to shower and bathe and put all kind of smelling good stuff on me, but when I still come to the house of God, it's all in my pores. Glory, hallelujah. And when we do the welcome song, and I hug my brother or my sister, I can tell the ones that still smoke. Glory, hallelujah. Yes, I can, and you can too. Yes, we can. But I challenge you. I challenge you to go to your car right now, or reach in your purse right now, and take that pack of Marlboros, Cools or whatever, and bring it to the altar. I challenge you to do that. We ain't gonna talk about you. We gonna pray for you. Yes, we are, because that's the sin that you're struggling with. Oh, Lord. Yes. All right. I might as well chase another rabbit. Go to your stash. Yes, go to your stash. You know, behind the bookshelf, underneath the fireplace, where you got that bottle, where you got that fifth of yak. Yes. You got that fifth of yak, and bring that yak to the altar. Yes, cognac, y'all. Bring that yak to the altar, and lay it down there. If you mean business, if you mean business. God, I'm tired of being a drunk. Yes, bring it to the altar. Uh-oh, here comes another rabbit. You fornicating, and you got some contraceptives. You got some condoms in your wallet, because soon as you let out of here, you're going to run over to so-and-so's house. I dare you. I godly dare you. If you mean business, to take them condoms out and bring them to the altar and say, God, I ain't fornicating no more. It's your sin. I ain't got time to name them all. Bring that fraudulent and phony tax return that you putting all them dependents on. You ain't got chick nor child, and here you are putting all them dependents trying to get some money back from the government. I dare you to bring that phony. You got three or four names that you filing in five different addresses. Come on now. You talk about somebody used to do that stuff. I dare you to bring them down. Bring them down to the altar. Say, God, I ain't lying no more. That's the sin. Because, see, The devil will build a trap for you and make you think you can't get out. But you need to tell that devil, look him square in his eyeballs and say, I am not my sin, and I'm getting this off of me right now, right here, right today. For there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So from this day forward, I'm giving the devil an eviction notice. Out of my mind, out of my heart. I ain't going there no more. I ain't going there no more. So bring whatever you need to bring to the altar. Listen, Jesus paid an awesome price for every last one of us. He has made it possible. Watch this. He made it possible for us to please God. He sent back the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. I hear God says, if you, it's in Romans, I believe it's still in that 8th chapter, if you have not the Spirit of God, then you're none of his. Listen, if you haven't been saved yet, here's some good news for you. Although you might be in sin, you need to recognize and understand and receive that when you were born, you were born, you were created in the image and in the likeness of God. And I hear the Bible said in John, the Gospel of John, that Jesus, he is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So there's some light in you. Oh, look at God. He lights us even before he delights in us. He lights us even before we receive salvation. Glory. Hallelujah. So God put a light in you. He put a light in every individual so that when the opportunity came for you to receive the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, that light that he put in you when you were a baby, that light can be drawn to the true light who is Jesus Christ. So God's trying to tell somebody this morning, yeah, you might not be saved yet, but all that's going to change today. If you accept the gospel message, if you accept the fact that you don't have to die in your sins, you don't have to die alienated from God, you don't have to die and slide into a devil's hell, because hell was really not made for you. Hell was made for the devil and his angels. But I hear God said that hell increases herself without measure. That means it makes room for everybody that don't want to follow God. But I come to encourage you today, this morning, that you are not your sin. You are not your sin. I hear God said he was bruised for our transgressions. Everything that we could think of, everything that we've done in the past, in the present, or in the future, Jesus was hung up for it on the cross of Calvary. So you're not your sin. You need to break out of that cycle. You need to break out of that cell. I hear God said, he said, the Spirit of God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the captives. You might be captive in your sin, but God has come to declare your freedom this morning. God, listen, and whom the Son sets free, you're free indeed. So name your sin and claim your victory. Now that's a good naming and claim it. They used to say name it and claim it, but I say name your sin and claim your victory. Name it and disown your sin and claim the victory that Jesus Christ has already purchased for you on Calvary. He got up with all power. Jesus has victory over death, over hell, and the grave. Who wouldn't want a God like that? The things that most humans fear, Jesus has conquered it. Ooh, glory. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that I'm saved. I don't know what to do. Aren't you glad that you're saved? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God has already put in his word? Oh, we got to do to make sure that there's nothing between our soul and our Savior. It's come clean with God. You're not your sin. You're not that thing that you're caught in right now. You need to know that. but then you need to want to get out of it. I'm the way, Jesus said, the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You want a way out of that thing? You want a way out? I recommend Jesus. He's the way out. You're not your sin. You're not your sin. You need to remind yourself of that. I'm not my sin. I'm not my sin. And when you make up in your mind, when you make up in your mind that you're through with it, you get through quick, fast, and in a hurry. Don't take long. I'm through. I'm trusting in God. You might have to delete some people off your contacts. That's okay. Delete them. They're dead weight anyway. Delete them. Delete them. Delete them. Go back home and get your weed. I don't care nothing about a prescription. Gotta hit that. Wait a minute. Last year, you had 20/20 vision. So how in 2 months you get glaucoma? And you 18 and 19. Come on. God ain't stupid. God ain't dumb. You slam dunk it and wrap around passes, and now you got arthritis pain that you can't deal with. You 25. But you want that weed prescription. The devil is a liar. Well, I got a lot of things going on. You know, I got school, and then my parents is with, so I just, you know, I'm just anxious, you know, so I need this weed to calm my nerves. Be anxious for nothing. That's what the Bible said. If anybody should be anxious, it should be your parents. All the stress you're putting on them, and they ain't smoking nothing. Come on. Well, it's legal. So what? Come in here high if you want to. I want God to arrest you. I ain't going to do nothing to you, because I don't fight no more. But I know what high looks like. I don't smoke enough weed to know. I know what it looks like when you're coming down, when you ain't quite there yet, but you still buzzing. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I know. Because I used to do that. But see, I had to put that a little humor in there so you can take this medicine. But you're not your sin. You don't need that weed in order for you to succeed. You don't need the weed. They got those pharmacies popping up everywhere. Drive by. Don't pull into the lot. And don't send Man-Man and Nay-Nay in there either. Go get my package. Okay. You're not your sin. You are not your sin. You need to tell yourself, I'm not my sin. And I'm not going to let this thing that does so easily beset me. God said, lay it aside. Lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset you. And run with patience this race, this course that is set before you, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher, the author and the perfecter, the author and the completer of our faith, looking unto him. So we got to look to Jesus. You want to get high? I'll tell you how to get high. Get full of the Holy Ghost. These men are not drunk as you suppose. You want to really get drunk and don't get a DUI? Get full of the Holy Ghost. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only the third hour of the day. But this is that. that was spoken of by the prophet Joel. I just want to encourage you in your struggles and in your involvement. You're not your sin. Don't let the devil or yourself or a depressed spirit tell you that you are your sin. No, you're not. No, you're not. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's all about Jesus. You see, don't get that twisted. You say, oh, I'm this. No, no. It's all about Jesus. You're not your sin. You're not your sin. So you can live above it. Trust me. You can live above all of it. Alcohol, the weed, fornication, adultery, lying, hypocrisy, jealousy, you name it. God has given you the strength. If you have the Spirit of God, He's given you the strength to say no to all of it. You're not your sin. God bless you. God keep you. Anybody want to be saved this morning? See, here's the thing. Even though those who are not saved yet, although you are not your sin, if you aren't saved yet, then you're sinners. And you can't help but fall into that same trap. But there is a deliverer here today, Jesus Christ. He was hung up on the cross for all of our sins. So all we have to do is put faith in His finished work, and the finished work of Calvary. When we put our faith and our confidence in the finished work of Calvary, the finished work of the cross, the finished work of His resurrection, the finished work of His ascension, the finished work of Him sending back the promised Holy Ghost, then we have the power. We have the power to bring our bodies under subjection. We have the power then to live a life that is pleasing to God. And remind yourself, I'm not my sin. I'm not my sin. David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned in Psalm 51. Huh? So when we sin, it may involve humans, but it's really against God. It's really against God. So if you're here this morning and you want to be saved, repent. Have a change of heart, change of mind, change of direction. Repent. And be baptized in water. In the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission, for the removing of sins, God has promised to give you the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you're here this morning, the invitation is to you to come and receive biblical salvation. Amen? Those of you who are watching by live stream, we're the Apostolic Faith Home Assembly Church located in the city of Los Angeles, California. We thank you for tuning in. We hope that your experience of sharing time with us was beneficial and a blessing to you. If we live and the Lord will, we will see you Wednesday, either at noon for our Facebook Live Bible class or at 7 p.m. for our live stream Bible class. God bless you in Jesus' name. Anybody here in the congregation, you need prayer for any reason, don't hesitate, just go.